Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist Adam Bly, and hopefully you today, because we are opening up the phone lines talking all about St. Patrick and St. Joseph. Oh, look at the phone lines go already. You guys are way ahead of us, but we need to go ahead and wave to all of the social media places that are streaming right now, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and Rumble. Good job, you guys. You're already up early and you're ahead of us, and that's wonderful. So yes, on Monday is St. Patrick's Day. On Wednesday is St. Joseph's Day, and they are very popular days for folks to enter into and celebrate. We're going to talk about it from a different angle, though, Adam. But before we begin anything, we always start with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen is right. And we do have the lines open. We have our wonderful call screeners, Anna and Libby, at the phones right now, ready, willing, and able to answer your call today at 877-757-9424. If you're listening to us anywhere on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, please call in, because we love your calls. We depend on your calls. We expect your calls, because this is what this show is all about, a solid catechesis on angels and demons and everything in between. Well, we're going to talk about St. Patrick and St. Joseph today. And typically, if you were to go and Google search any information on these two great saints, you would get, a fair amount of info that could help you understand it better. But we're going to cover it from a little bit of a different angle, because we feel that sometimes these things are often missed, or you just overlook some of these things because it's all part of the celebration day. But Adam, I'll let you go ahead and begin with St. Patrick.
Yeah, so, Deb, this touches on something that over the years has become like a stronger issue for me. It almost feels like a soapbox issue for me. You know, I'm tempted to get on a soapbox about it, because the saints to me are so concrete. They're so real. You know, I've seen the power of invoking the saints. I've seen the power of relics in ways that can't be explained away, with some kind of excuse or, the imagination or things like that. And so when I see the secularization of Catholic holy days, Catholic saints, and, more problematically, I see the superstitions that develop over the years, that a lot of people embrace, that's a real problem, because it's linked to the first commandment. You know, the church clearly links superstition as a violation of the first commandment. And so when we kind of embrace and encourage these practices, and I know, it happens, it's part of human nature, I think what you're doing is you're kind of diluting the faith, and you're diluting the spiritual benefits and message of these things. So, So for instance, if we look at St. Patrick, of course, most people think of St. Patrick's Day as a day to drink beer, and perhaps green beer. They also think of the shamrock as a symbol that's associated with St. Patrick. Which is what? Linked to good luck. Mm-hmm. Again, that's a superstition, and from the church's perspective, is a violation of the first commandment.
Right.
So, I think, when you think it through that way, I think a lot of people would be surprised and say, well, wait a second, that means it's a mortal sin if I do it knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, you know, and it's interesting because these are touchy subjects because, you know, as you referenced the green beer and you talked about the shamrock being of good luck, these are things that are embedded in the Irish culture, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Irish immigrants, especially, you know, the ones here in the U.S., and they are very, you know, proud of their great saint and sure. all the things associated with their Irish heritage. And they should be. It's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. And it's the same thing that happens with St. Joseph. I mean, I'm of Sicilian descent, and the Sicilian immigrants here, they take offense if you start saying, well, why can't we have a feast of a table filled for St. Joseph? We're honoring St. Joseph for answered prayers for the drought that happened in Sicily. Why can't we do that? This is, and he's the patron saint of Sicily. Don't be touching our saint. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand that. I mean, I get it. We hold these things near and dear because we feel like they're ours. You know, St. Patrick, you associate right away with Ireland, right? And St. Joseph, especially St. Joseph's Day, you associate with Southern Italy and Sicily. I get it. And I grew up that way. But if you peel back the layers and you look at some of the things that have creeped into this whole commercialization of these two great saints and their particular days, it's problematic on many levels. And Adam and I discussed it at length just about this. So let's go with the green beer for a moment, and let's go with the shamrock for a second, and let's look at this. Okay, well, when Chicago fills their waterways with green, you know, powder to turn the whole river green, right? Okay. And there's tons of places that are opening up their bars and pubs very early in the morning to start selling green beer. Okay. So that means that people are drinking starting at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning all day long. And Adam, you've worked in the prison system and you've said this many times that alcohol induced things is what started a lot of crimes and bad choices, right? Okay. So let's hold that aside. Then go to the shamrock. The shamrock initially by St. Patrick was used to teach about the Trinity. That's a beautiful thing. But now it has morphed into this good luck charm, which has nothing to do with what this great saint used by way of spreading Christianity into Ireland. So let's start there and let's really talk about it, because now you got me on this soapbox, because I agree. I mean, listen, we don't want to take anything away from any culture or heritage and anyone that's is proud, you know, of this. But let's face it, it wasn't until the 1970s that Ireland chose to even start doing green beer because they saw it as a way to bring tourists to Ireland. So it didn't even relate to the saint's story.
Right, right. And we're not... Here's the thing. There, you can think of like three types of people that embrace these ideas. You could think of the devout Catholic, the borderline Christian Catholic, and the completely secular person. When the devout Catholic, who, you know, maybe they're Irish and are rightfully proud of their spiritual heritage with St. Patrick, wears a shamrock pin on their lapel because they're associating that with St. Patrick. To them, if that's just an association and a symbol associated with their heritage and that saint, that's in their mind, if you think of their intent, well, maybe that's not so problematic, right?
Right.
They're just doing an association. Now, the person who's vaguely Catholic or Christian, maybe they were born and raised that way and they're not anymore and they don't know a whole lot about the faith, but they throw these things on without understanding them, and they engage in the heavy drinking, perhaps thinking that really is what it's about. Maybe Patrick was big on beer. You know, we know different monastics would develop beer. Maybe a person imagines that he was big on beer. And so I think when when that middle type embraces these things, it can lead to confusion. Mm-hmm. And I want to go on to the St. Joseph statues buried in the corner of the yard in the same way.
Oh, boy. Well, and my husband's a real estate broker, so you're touching, another sensitive area. But,
right.
But Adam, real quickly, though, let me just go back to something for a moment. You know, up until 1970, in Ireland, it was a dry holy day. It was a dry holy day. They viewed St. Patrick's Day the proper way. It wasn't until the 1970s that it switched and became this drunken fest of, and I'm saying this politely because, guys, I love St. Patrick's Day. Love it. I love the whole atmosphere of it. I really get into the whole feeling of it. But I have seen, when coming from the hospitality industry, the hotel restaurant background, I mean, I've seen some pretty dangerous things happen on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, sure.
It's not funny. It's really serious that people just kind of let loose and do whatever because somehow it's a holiday that they have the freedom to do that.
Yeah, I mean, not like meaning to like really pick on things, but it's really abusive. So I did my undergrad work and my graduate work at Penn State. So, you know, most of that at State College, which is the main campus of Penn State University. And for those that don't know around the world, it's a big state university in Pennsylvania, which is where I'm at. But it is very much, or at least historically, was very much associated with partying and drinking, right? It's a huge school, large population, known for that. On St. Patrick's Day, it was not unusual for people to start drinking as soon as the bar opened at mm-hmm. whatever it was, 9 or 10 o'clock, and purposely continue drinking until 2 a.m. when the bar closed. Mm-hmm. So you might say, like, okay, those are college kids, leave them alone. Yeah, but the point is that drinking in excess isn't good for us. It's not good for us spiritually. We tend to make bad decisions when we're drunk, right? Kind of like nobody needs to argue that point. We all know we make bad decisions if we drink too much. So switching a dry holy day into a day of incredible excess of drinking, it just seems like a perversion mm-hmm. of something, you know, that was holy turning it into something that is really, you know, I think from some argument, sinful, because you're really poisoning your body at that point. Mm-hmm. Lots of fights would happen on those days.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of destruction of property. A lot of people blackout drunk. You know, it wasn't pretty. So anyway,
And aren't you saying, though, we're just trying to put this into perspective and what we really should be focused on?
Yeah. So the point of this discussion is to look at the origin of these things and maybe reflect on the spirituality that created them in the first place and embrace that a little bit. If you're only embracing the drinking and the shamrock, at least go learn about the real St. Patrick. Say some prayers for his intercession.
Amen to that. Okay, if you have something to say about this, and I think our Spirit World listeners, they do. They're lighting up the phone lines at 877-757-9424. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. We'll be posting some articles there at the Spirit World Podcast. And Adam and I and the show team will be right back.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua for finding love, and many more as well. To see which Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church. After a series of personal tragedies, I really felt a need to come home to a church, and that's when I came back to the Catholic Church. I never realized before that we get, at every Mass, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, and the Gospel. I never realized before, it's all biblically based. The Catholic Church is based on the Bible. This is the church that Christ started, and we practice all the sacraments as he gave them to us, and I think that's important. I love getting up and going to church. I love going to Mass. I feel like I get to go to Mass, not like I have to go to Mass. The joy, I have joy in my spirit, I have a lightness in my spirit that I haven't had before. I love the Catholic Church with all my heart, and I can't imagine my life without it. My life is totally different now.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, drop your comments in the chats on the social media streams. Please do that. And we really value those comments and feedback that we get on the shows, the live shows that we do. Rarely do we have recorded shows, but they are pre-records that are new content. So like we just had Bishop Walter Scheid on. We're going to be having Father Chris Alar is coming up, and we're so excited about that. So you know, when we do those rare pre-records, they're wonderful shows for you to pass to your friends. But this, we are live today, and it's always wonderful when you're talking about St. Patrick or St. Joseph and you get a Patrick that calls in. And so we do have a Patrick that has called in. We'll get to his call in just a moment. And then we'll get to Dennis and the others. But folks, please call in if you have something to say about this topic. We're trying to present a fresh angle to St. Patrick and St. Patrick's Day, the celebration, and St. Joseph's Day on March 19th. And to really understand what we as Catholic Christians, how we should look at these holidays, how we should enter into these celebrations, and how really we should appreciate these two saints. So the number to dial if you have something to say about this, and you can ask a question that's a bit off topic if you have something important about angels or demons. So we really want to hear from, we don't ever discourage our Spirit World listeners because we're only on once a week, and that's on Saturday. So if you have something that's pressing and you need to talk to us, please call us, 877-757-9424. That's 877-757-9424. And Adam, would it be okay before we get to St. Joseph to go to Patrick in Buffalo? Because his name is Patrick, so I think he gets to go to the front of the line. What do you say?
I agree, Deb.
Okay, Patrick in Buffalo, New York, listening on our friends at the Station of the Cross. Hi, Patrick. Welcome.
Hey, Debbie. It's been a while since I spoke to you. I don't know if you recognize my voice.
I do. How are you?
Okay.
Good.
I'm doing. Can I say this? Because I have Irish heritage. I'm doing grand. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
I'm doing grand, Lottie. Doing grand. I had a call. I was going to wait to call the Monday because you're going to talk about it. But my middle name, my parents really wanted me to be get to heaven. I'm actually Patrick Joseph.
Wow.
So I got both. And my son is a Patrick Joseph. So this time of year, and for the longest, I took it for granted, got caught up in the Irishness, drinking, acting foolish. You know, I know more about how these saints are awesome in my life, but when you were both talking about, we're guilty of all this. The green beer, getting a little too drunk. It's such a secular holiday. And we really forget the importance when we're out partying, what St. Patrick did, what he sacrificed. It's all about having fun. We'll have it too much, little stuff, and we'll get into trouble. It happens. That's what St. Patrick said, the parade, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buffalo really celebrates. We do.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'd love Adam to comment on that because he's not too far away from you. He's in Pennsylvania. Do you have big
and
celebrations?
Nice to speak to Adam. I think you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. I love your show. Go ahead.
Oh, so, please. So Patrick, I'm curious, how do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I'm an older gentleman. I'm 52. Well, I don't do it as much as I used to, but in my younger days, we're looking about 20 years ago, I lived it up. I'd go to the parade. I'd visit the pubs around there, and I did a little too much. I remember doing that, but I didn't know Jesus wasn't at the center of my life. I was a Catholic in name, and I just partied too much. But now I just kind of I'll have some Guinness or so with my son, and we'll get a Reuben. That's how we're trying to celebrate it. Not too much. Probably won't go to the parade because it's just, we've been there so many times. That's about it. But we have a big Irish heritage in Buffalo. We have one part in Buffalo. It's called South Buffalo. And it's where all the Irish immigrated to South Buffalo in Buffalo, New York. There's so many. So in so many districts that hold on to that heritage. And I'm sure where you're from, too, you have some Irish neighborhoods as well.
Oh, sure.
So we really get into it here.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Irish pubs, Irish music. All right, that's about it. I'll let you talk. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. That's okay. So Deb, I guess that's where what I was starting in the first segment to try to discriminate between is, you know, Patrick saying that earlier in his life he was Catholic, but he wasn't really in touch with his faith fully and understanding it and embracing it. So he engaged in more of the secular side of that holy day. And now as he's getting deeper into his faith, closer to Jesus, he's more, you know, on the religious side of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there are those kind of three groups of people. There's those that are devout that might wear the shamrock pin, or they might, you know, do something like go out and make a toast or something, but they're not going to turn it into a secular, you know, really kind of potentially mm-hmm. sinful thing. There's a middle group that doesn't really understand what they're doing, so the intent really isn't so bad, but they need conversion. And then there's the purely secular group that has no bad intent. They just think of it as a secular holiday. Mm-hmm. And it's that intent is what I'm getting at. The intent with which we do things is important to God. You know, what right. defines a mortal sin is, you know, it's one of the Ten Commandments. You choose to do it anyway in a mindful mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it a mortal sin. So when we're talking about these things, it's informing your conscience, if you're listening, that the drinking is not historically part of it, if you right. go back before 1970. And it's probably not a very holy thing to do, to drink to excess, certainly right. not all day. And there are holy things you can do.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Make a holy hour to Jesus, thanking Jesus for all these great saints. You know, say an extra rosary. You know, all sorts of things that we can do. Light a candle. You know, a beautiful candle, remembering the day. But Patrick, I agree with what you and Adam were saying. It's this idea of as we grow in our faith, we start to see the bigger picture. God gives us a glimpse of the bigger picture. And when we get that glimpse, it's hard to go backwards. And as a matter of fact, when you go to some of these drunken fests, you're like, oh my goodness, this is way off base. I know somebody needs to be catechized here. You know, so it's interesting. As you grow in faith, you start to, you become enlightened in a way. And it's very difficult to go backwards. And it's, you really want to keep going forward. But Patrick, I have to tell you, I love that your names are Patrick Joseph. And you named your son that as well.
Yes, he did. I did as well.
I love it.
Didn't realize. I told you this a while ago, and I was doing confirmation when I was 16. You know, because you have to do it. I said, "What sounds like a good name?" I said, "I don't know." I picked Saint Michael. I just picked it arbitrarily.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
I picked powerful ones. I didn't even realize it. I have his. I didn't realize it. I was like, "Wow, listen to you guys. What the power!" And then when you start the show. And I say that prayer a lot, to St. Michael, when I pray churches. I'll end with this because I know you have, the Irish have the gift of gab, so I need to get off.
Oh, Patrick, well, you are a delight. Thank you for gracing this conversation today.
I'll do a shout out to one of the priests in our area. It's St. Margaret Church in Buffalo. His name is Father Richards. He's a good charismatic priest. He was picked as the marshal for St. Patrick's Day Parade in Buffalo. He's in my parish.
So
I know he's going to lead us well tomorrow. He'll be out leading the parade.
That's beautiful.
My parish.
Well, you give him our hellos and tell him thank you for his vocation to the priesthood, okay?
All right. And you guys keep on to your show, protecting our souls, giving that good information, because we all have one mission to get to heaven. That's our mission. You keep on doing it for us.
Amen.
My heart, I love your program.
Oh, we love you back, Patrick. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend. This is beautiful. Okay, Adam, we're going to hit the pause button in just a little bit, but we have Dennis waiting and has been waiting so patiently. May we move over to Dennis, unless you wanted to go to St. Joseph. I don't want to miss St. Joseph, because last year we did this show, we missed to St. Joseph, and we can't do that this year. So Dennis in Westchester, New York on EWTN online, you've been waiting so patiently. Welcome to the spirit world.
Debbie and Adam, I listen to your show every week, and I encourage so many others. Thank you for what you both do. And what I would like to throw out to your listeners is to do a pro-life activity during Lent, and even perhaps in honor of St. Patrick and St. Joseph, instead of drinking, donate a pint of blood.
Ooh.
It's a very pro-life activity.
Yes.
Most people don't even know their blood type. If I asked you two, Debbie and Adam, do you know it?
I do.
Yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Adam?
I do. I'm O positive. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Adam, do you know yours?
No, I do not.
Okay. And that's fair, because 90% of the people, I give talks on donating blood. I've been organizing blood drives for 35 years. Don't know. Almost 95% of people don't know their blood types. And that's kind of embarrassing if you end up in the emergency room and someone asks you what your blood type. I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in any event, it's a noble thing to do. And what I want your listeners to do is get a free mini medical checkup before you donate blood. They check your pulse, your blood pressure. They check your body temperature and your hemoglobin levels. Now, if everything passes, then you can go ahead and donate your blood. And that pint of blood is run through 7 to 8 different types of tests before it's given to another person. And if there's something wrong in any of these checkpoints, you're notified right away. And Debbie, Adam, I'm sure you would agree, it's better to find a problem at stage 1 rather than stage 4.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you're doing it for a noble reason. You're helping someone else anonymously. And we need people to be more empathetic about other people that are suffering. Only 3 to 4% of Americans that are eligible to donate do so.
Right.
Where do we get most of our blood then in this country? Mm-hmm. We get it from the European Blood Bank. And they have told us next year they're going to cut the supply to us, but they're going to jack up the price. Now, I get angry.
But so, Dennis, let's jump in, because what you're saying here is a very beautiful thing for us to do as Christians. Adam?
Yeah, just, you know, being Lent, that's a great thought in terms of a charitable act that you can do during Lent.
Yeah.
There's potential benefit, of course, with getting some of your things checked in the process. Hopefully you're making it to the doc once a year and getting regular blood work done. But if you're not, that could be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's a great idea.
On the other side of the break, Deb, don't let me forget. I agree with you. I want to touch on St. Joseph a little bit.
Okay.
Because we missed him last year.
Right. But I absolutely. But Dennis, thank you so much for sharing with us. I just want to make sure I get that gold star in an envelope mailed to me, since I did know my blood type. I think I should get at least a gold star. I'll get one from producer Tim. That'll be fine. Okay, Dennis, thank you so much. Appreciate the call and the suggestions. Great. We actually have some responses already coming in from the Spirit World listeners. They are quick on social media. So Anne and Jim and the others will get to you on the other side of the break after we talk about the great Saint Joseph. When we come back, we're talking about two great saints on this extraordinary week of Saint Patrick's Day and Saint Joseph's Day. So please stay with us on the Spirit World, and don't forget to like us again on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast, because we have articles we're going to post after the show, and we'll be right back.
The month of March is dedicated to Saint Joseph. O Saint Joseph, whose protection is so great, so prompt, so strong before the throne of God, I place in you all my interests and desires. O Saint Joseph, do assist me by your powerful intercession, and obtain for me from your divine Son all spiritual blessings, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, so that having engaged here below your heavenly power, I may offer my thanksgiving and homage to the most loving of fathers. O Saint Joseph, I never weary contemplating you and Jesus asleep in your arms. I dare not approach while he reposes near your heart. Press him in my name and kiss his fine head for me, and ask him to return the kiss when I draw my dying breath. Saint Joseph, patron of departing souls, pray for me. Amen.
Want some more joy in your life? Need some more peace in your day? Want to wake up each morning excited about life in a whole new way? Life coaching may be just what you need. We have a team of dedicated coaches willing to assist you in creating a plan for a better future with God as the focus. Jesus said, "I came for you to have life and have it to the full." So begin today with that abundant life. Visit us at standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
We're talking about St. Patrick and St. Joseph today on the Spirit World, and we wanted just to give a fresh perspective on it so that maybe you, as a Christian, can look at it differently as you approach these two holy day holidays. And so please call in if you have something to say about it. We're not going to take any more breaks, so we'll go to the phones after we talk about St. Joseph. We've got to get St. Joseph in. 877-757-9424. So we're going to ask Jim and Ann, hold tight, don't go anywhere. And Adam, we'll talk about St. Joseph. But let me just caution you, Adam. We have a lot of real estate agents that listen to this program, one of them being my husband. He's a real estate broker. And please, you know, this idea of the St. Joseph, bearing St. Joseph upside down facing the house, it's become a very common thing. And I've even seen it in a lot of Catholic gift stores.
Well, I'm going to break some friendships, I guess, but that's okay. You know, there's at least three problems with that practice. So number one would be that it is a superstitious practice. It is not linked with any formal blessing of the house or anything from the church. It's just done with an unblessed plastic statue that you buy at the store, and you bury it with the superstitious belief that it will help sell the house. And so, being a superstition, it's linked with the violation of the First Commandment. That's number one. Number two, the church, in fact, does have times when we bury statues, but that is only when they are defaced or destroyed, and then they must either be burned or buried because they're in what is called an undignified state. So you're engaging in something that's normally done only for statues in an undignified state, where you're essentially seeking to destroy the statue. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number three, you're burying it upside down, which is an inversion of types. And whenever we see inversion, we think of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we think of things being inverted.
Now, may I just say something here? In the past, and I know because I have seen it, priests have blessed the statues before they are buried, and then have told the people that when the house sells, to dig up St. Joseph and place him in a prominent position in the home.
Okay. I mean, I'm not, you know, this isn't like a huge thing in my life that I've been involved in cases related to this or something. And I'm sure, you know, when there's a situation, if your priest gives you that guidance, obey your local priest, obey your local bishop, for sure. These are just my thoughts sitting back and looking at the practice, mm-hmm. you know, from my perspective. You know, I think it's problematic. I think, you know, the core issue is the superstitious violation of the First Commandment. But, you know, these things happen. It's called syncretism.
Exactly.
And normally, syncretism is essentially the blending of local folklore in with the Catholic faith. And that happens all over the world as the Catholic faith, you know, lives and breathes in various cultures.
Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the great Saint Joseph. Would he be offended at that? I mean, if you have people trusting that they want to sell their house, you know, because he's so amazing of a saint, and he provides, you know, for families, and he's there to have meaningful work for people. People find jobs because of Saint Joseph, and we're going to be talking with Anne shortly, who goes to Saint Joseph for just that. So, I mean, wouldn't Saint Joseph be honored by that? And especially to have the the statue being put in a prominent place afterwards. I mean, I think that's where they're, the churches are, some Catholic churches are allowing it. Because I will tell you that these kits, these St. Joseph kits, are sold in church gift shops, some of them.
Yeah. So, and, you know, like I said, I'm not saying I'm the authority and people need to obey my particular perspective. This is my perspective for the reasons that I gave. I understand some people think it's okay. I would dare to postulate that St. Joseph would be more happy if you prayed the Litany of St. Joseph.
Okay, got it.
Or prayed a rosary, since he's part of the Holy Family and so connected with Mary. Mm-hmm. Some type of prayer to God, I think he would be more happy with than bearing a statue of him upside down. That wasn't centered, you know, that's not centered around prayer.
Well, and a lot of people, to be honest with you, when they move and stuff, they forget to dig him back up, and he's been left at many locations, I understand. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's an unfortunate thing that happens. Okay, anything else about St. Joseph before we get to Anne? Because Anne's going to talk about St. Joseph.
Just that, you know, I think he's a saint that a lot of people don't know how to get close with and deeply understand, partly because there's relatively little said about him. But if you meditate on him, he really did play a big role. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus was fully man, fully divine, and Joseph was the man who raised him and taught him, probably taught him the Jewish faith, the traditions, probably taught him how to work and labor, taught him lessons about life. So, you know, he is a saint. There are litanies to St. Joseph out there down through the centuries that have been written. There are prayers associated with him. He's associated with working and labor. And so he's a great saint to bring a little statue of St. Joseph to your workplace that's blessed and ask for his help as you're engaging in your labors.
Absolutely. Okay, so we are going to go to Anne in Whittier, California on Sirius XM 130. Anne, thank you so much for waiting. And you do have a comment about the great St. Joseph.
Yes, I do. How are you, Debbie?
We're doing well. Thank you so much, Anne. It sounds like you're in the car, so please, are you safe? You're not driving in Los Angeles area on the...
No, I'm on Bluetooth, so I'm safe.
Okay, you go right ahead.
I agree with what Adam just said, because I really honestly don't even really remember when I started to go to St. Joseph. But I know that as time went on, the more faith I put into it, the more I learned, like, the different prayers, the more faith I started to develop with him and feel like I really am speaking with him. When I go to him like I would go to my father, I really feel like he's listening to me. And it's such a beautiful thing. I can't explain it, but I actually also have other people in love with St. Joseph because I speak about him so much. Mm-hmm. And with this month of March, I'm just always so excited to honor St. Joseph. But he always, this last job, I have another new job, Debbie. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for a job, and he just heard all the frustrations I had with my job. The job opened, I applied, and I got it. And I'm just like, This is all God's will, but it's the prayers of St. Joseph, who always watches over me.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that, Anne. I love the way you love St. Joseph, and I'm just curious, were you consecrated to St. Joseph, like the Father Donald Calloway's book, which I think is spectacular, Consecration to St. Joseph? Did you ever go through that book?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Debbie. I'm afraid to do it because I get to be a procrastinator sometimes.
Okay.
So I just am so afraid to start it and not finish.
Gotcha.
Because if I do something like that for St. Joseph, I want to go all the way through.
Yeah, I understand, and that's fair. What do you say, Adam?
You know, Anne, I would encourage you to do whatever you can from that book. Don't shy away. A lot of people hesitate to start a new part of their spiritual journey because they think, oh, you know, I won't be able to handle it, or it's a too big of a commitment. Get what you can out of it, and then maybe revisit it in a few years if you can't finish it this time. But you're going
to
grow and learn. Even if you study part of that or start the process, you're going to grow and learn, and God's going to capitalize on that and build on that. So I would, you know, I would say go ahead.
Yeah, and it's a very thick book, as you know, Anne, and folks can get it at EWTNRC.com, The Consecration to St. Joseph. Father Donald Calloway did a phenomenal job on it. And Anne, I agree with Adam, you could do it in little snippets. You don't have to do the whole process.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, okay. Well, I'm gonna pray on that because I've been thinking about it, actually, for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's awesome.
That would be my next step.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Anne, and you probably others are going to pick up the book as well. So I think it's wonderful that your call came in. And thank you for honoring St. Joseph today, and safe driving in the L.A. area. Okay, Anne, we'll talk to you again soon. All righty. That was a beautiful call. Real quickly before we get to Jim, we have some social media comments coming in. Christopher on Facebook wants to know, he says, good morning, says, why are leprechauns and a pot of gold on St. Patrick's Day? Adam, that's all associated with the whole good luck, good fortune thing, correct?
Well, it actually goes back to Irish Celtic mythology and paganism.
Oh, so, wow. So it's even more serious. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of the turning an old Irish pagan figure, sometimes seen as a cultural hero, sometimes seen as a god, into like a cartoon version of that. So, yeah, it harkens back to Celtic paganism.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, Christopher. There's your answer there. Let's go to Jim in Atlanta, Georgia on Sirius XM 130. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me. I have pulled off the road, so I'm not driving.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you so much. You go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted, I really have fond memories when I was a younger man. Before I moved to Atlanta, I lived in Utica, New York, Utica, Rome area. And we came up at St. Joseph's, St. Patrick's Church, which is a combo from the 60s. St. Joseph's Church survived. The building was there. It's still there. We had the Franciscan friars, and they always thought it would be a great idea to have a noon mass or a 1 o'clock mass before the St. Patrick's Day parade, which went by the church. It's a huge, beautiful church built by German immigrants in the 1800s, and it's like a basilica. It's still there. It's still open, thank God. So we would go to noon mass, go out to the parade, and then out to the pubs and restaurants down on Varick and Columbia Street to have something to eat. And I don't remember there being a lot of drunkenness, although probably some places there were people that didn't have that. But it was a very Catholic way of an inner city parish celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, we have a great honor. We had a great honor there because our parish at St. Joseph's was the home parish to St. Mother Mary Ann Cope before she became a nun.
Nice.
Of the Franciscan sisters in Syracuse. So it was just so much there, and I was always really proud to be able to celebrate that way as a Catholic instead of just looking for a bar to go to and hang out. So
that
might be a good suggestion for others.
Right. And one thing I will say, Jim, I'm all in favor of celebrating things, you know, in moderation and when they have some depth of understanding and meaning to it, where we can bring it into our conversation. So like going to do something that is spiritual and then going out afterwards for a nice dinner and celebrating and talking about it. I think that's a great continuation of the conversation, fellowship, and bringing God into our lives. So I'm all in favor of that. I'm all about that. Where I think we're tapping into is this idea that, oh, you look at the calendar. Oh, it's March 17th. It's St. Patrick's Day, a day for me to have no Lent and go have fun and, you know, just cut loose and whatever happens, and God will forgive me because it's St. Patrick's Day. That's, in my humble opinion, is a very dangerous angle, and I think the world is going in that direction. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, I'm not aware that there's a relief of the Lenten disciplines on St. Patrick's Day. Is there?
Well, there have been. I've been at places where they've given dispensation, yes.
Okay.
So, and I have been at places, but I don't know if it's standard. I don't know who gets to decide that, if it's just the bishop in that area, or, but I have been at places. I've been at events that have taken place on March 17th. Mm-hmm. And yes, they've lifted the Lenten disciplines.
And of course, the diocesan bishop has the power to dispense with that. So that would be fine if that happened. Mm-hmm. I just haven't come across it myself, I don't think.
Yeah. No, I have actually.
I do remember, Jim. Our bishop in Syracuse gave a dispensation usually so mm-hmm. you could do that. But it was, there were thousands that attended that Mass. It was
wow.
just a big church.
Nice.
And hopefully everybody continued in that spirit. But I thought it was a good way to center, you know, on Christ in the Eucharist. And I'll have to say, though, the weather in Central New York was usually so bad, it was rainy and cold, that you couldn't get away with much in the streets. Mm-hmm. You had to be inside. So mm-hmm. we always had a fun time, but we always would go to the Mass. And I hope they still do it. I don't know if they still do it or not.
Well, doesn't it rise to a higher level of a holy day when the parish is named after St. Patrick or St. Joseph? My understanding, and I think a producer, Tim, just sent a comment in. I could be wrong on this, but you know, usually it rises to a little bit of a higher importance. Is that correct, Adam?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting, Jim. I'm glad you shared, you know, and it sounds like you have such fond memories of living in New York, and I think that is beautiful. And now you're in Atlanta, Georgia, so that's wonderful as well. But it's I think when we reflect back on the things that we did growing up with the importance of, you know, parades and getting together as a community and building the community and having that healthy pride for the community, I think is a wonderful thing. What do you say, Jim?
I agree. And that was back in the late 80s and 90s. And we don't have that tradition in the South, honestly, but some of the Catholic churches here, I belong at St. Monica's here in Metro Atlanta, but we have a St. Patrick's Day dinner. So I agree. And I think mm-hmm. it's great of both of you to bring this up. I love listening to your show, and I thank you very much for what you do. It's good.
Oh, thank you, Jim. God bless you. Have a beautiful weekend. We appreciate it. Okay, so Adam, I think we covered St. Patrick and St. Joseph quite well. I hope they are pleased if they are listening to this broadcast. And we want to move to Angel, our friend Angel in Perrysburg, Ohio, in just a moment. But actually, her call and her question actually leads nicely into next week's show that we're doing on prophecy. So maybe we could start with Angel, and it'll give us some understanding of where our listeners are at, so that when we do the research and prepare for next Saturday on prophecy, we will have a full presentation. So let's go to Angel in Perrysburg, Ohio, on Annunciation Radio. Angel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Dash, I love you. You're amazing.
Thank you.
I love you so much. I have a special question for you. You know, my fiance is in Syria, and he was shot. I often have dreams or see the soldiers that have died and his family members, and it has not really happened with too many other people in my life. Sometimes it'll happen, like after they get shot, they'll come to me and tell me their name and stuff. Well, last night I felt this pure white spirit. I couldn't explain it. It was just like pure ecstasy around me. And I could see the name Lily, and I couldn't understand. And I could see his Uncle John, who was a priest. He was married before he became a priest, and his family died. And so anyway, I didn't know anything about him. I don't know anything about these people at all. But I could see his Uncle John was crying, and I could see the spirit, the light. And I said, "Who's Lily?" And he said, "How do you know Lily?" I said, "She's here." And he said, "Lily was my Uncle John's baby girl who died at 5 days. Her heart stopped. She was having trouble breathing." I mean, why are these things happening to me? And why would a baby, you know, appear to me like this and hang around? I could feel her spirit. It was just so pure.
Well, Angel, let's hear what Adam has to say, because he only has about 4 minutes to discuss this, and it sounds like there's many layers to it. Adam, go right ahead.
So, Angel, did this happen when you were asleep, half awake, or fully awake?
Fully awake. I was actually driving, and I pulled off, and I saw the name Lily, and I know when I see the names, I need to ask him who it is. And so I asked him immediately. I got on the phone with him and said, "Who's Lily? She's here." And it's a white light. And he said, "How do you know Lily?" He always asks me how I know these people. I said, "I don't. I said, but you've got to tell me because she wants to talk and she wants to say something. There's something going on." He said, "Lily was 5 days old when she died." I said, "I can see Uncle John, too." And he said, "Uncle John was crying desperately. He loved that baby." And he became a priest later after he lost his family. It's a long story. But anyway,
okay.
It just keeps happening. And
do you think, Adam, these are souls in purgatory that need some assistance?
Well, if she died, you said at 4 days, Angel?
5 days old.
Yeah, so
she's under the age of reason.
Right, she's under the age of reason, meaning she hasn't developed the ability to choose sin yet, so she would not be in purgatory. So that wouldn't add up. I mean, Angel, there's so many questions. I guess really quickly, are you Catholic?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Angel's Catholic.
Oh, I'm an everyday communicant.
So baptized and confirmed, right?
Absolutely.
And in a state of grace?
Yes.
Okay. Any history of these kind of things happening earlier in your life?
No, except maybe when my dad died, he appeared to me a couple times, but no, only with this person that I'm engaged to. And he's a soldier, and there's a lot of death around him.
Okay, when your dad died, he appeared to you when you were wide awake?
Yes, I was very ill. He came to me 4 times, and I was dying, and I didn't know it.
Oh.
And he came to me 4 days in a row, and he appeared to me and in the hospital. He had just died himself. And so they said I had less than 24 hours to live, and that my intestines were being choked off. But it was like he was there in front of me. He never looks at me. He only has his face down, and he appears and stands right before me whenever I'm in trouble like that.
How many times have you seen him?
4 or 5.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, Angel, of course, I can't give you a simple answer. I can tell you that the child would not need prayer because they wouldn't be in purgatory.
What if they weren't baptized, Adam?
The church leaves that up to the mercy of God.
Okay. Okay.
So people
have. I think she was baptized. He was a very holy man.
Okay.
Uncle John was a very holy man.
So I'm not sure if that necessarily makes sense. Her father, who became the priest, is he still alive?
He had a terrible death. He was poisoned.
Okay, so he's not alive. I'm not sure, Angel. Here's my advice, and I know this may sound strange to you. But next time you're praying, talk with Jesus and ask him to take all of this away if it's not from him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you need to do that sincerely, meaning you need to be willing to let it go if it's not from him. And then also, of course, you need to rule out any hallucinations that are brought on by stress. You need to rule that out just to be safe, because the mundane possibilities are more likely than the supernatural are. Supernatural stuff is rare. The mundane is mundane. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm not dismissing it and saying it's just your brain, but I would talk with your doctor and just rule out any infection or, you know, anything going on there.
Have a brain injury.
Okay.
My right lateral ventricle is enlarged.
Okay. So,
but, I mean, that's never played a role in any of this until I met this person.
So
you have to go quickly, Adam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to wrap up here, Angel. So again, ask Jesus to take it away if it's not from him, and then let it go. I wouldn't focus on it anymore. Just focus on moving forward with your prayer life.
Okay. Angel, thank you so much for entrusting us with this question and this experience that's happening to you. We are going to pray. I put everybody in the prayer book, by the way. Everyone's in the prayer book who called in today. I had the prayer book out from yesterday, from take two. So that's wonderful. Thank you, Angel, and the others. Thank you to all on the chats going strong. We'll wave to you again this time. Goodbye until next Saturday on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and Rumble. You guys did great. Leave your comments there. Keep keep the conversations going. We want to thank so very much Anna and Libby on the phones. Thank you to producer Tim. Thank you to Guadalupe Radio Network for producing this show, and EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network for airing it all over the world. Okay, that'll do it, folks. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.